This is the Late Round Podcast with your host, JJ Zacharisa. JJ Zacharisa.
What's up, everyone? It's JJ Zacharyson, the editor-in-chief at FanDuel and at NumberFire.com, and this is episode 183 of the Late Round Podcast, one of the many shows that are part of the NumberFire Podcast Network. Thanks for tuning in. Aaron Jones. It's happening. Spoiler alert, I'm going to be talking about my man Aaron Jones on today's podcast. But before we get going with the 15 transaction show, I wanted to let you guys know about a special offer from NumberFire. For a limited time until the end of the day on Halloween, upgrade to NumberFire Premium for only $5. Just use promo code DUNK at checkout and get access to award-winning DFS tools and gambling picks across the NFL and the NBA. For more info, visit numberfire.com/premium. Remember, that's promo code DUNK. Try it out for a month for only $5 today. Add Kiki Cutie. So Will Fuller's out for the season with a torn ACL, and that's bad news for Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson actually has really bad splits without Will Fuller. But it's good news for Kiki Cutie because he's now the number two option in that Texans passing game. Now the biggest question is how Cutie's going to be utilized. Because up until this point, he's been sort of a short yardage slot guy without a ton of work down the field. He has a 5-yard average depth of target this year while playing 72.8% of his snaps according to Pro Football Focus from the slot, and he's seen just 10% of his targets travel 15 plus air yards. Now for comparison, Will Fuller's primarily been playing on the outside. His average depth of target is 8.8 yards higher, and he's seen a deep ball on almost 29% of his targets. So considering all this, there is a chance that Kiki Cutie doesn't necessarily see what Will Fuller was seeing. I actually wouldn't expect that. But even still, without Fuller, Cutie should have a lot more opportunity from a volume standpoint. And that's what matters most. He's still only rostered in just 20% of Yahoo leagues, and he's a very, very strong waiver ad this week. But do understand that he is dealing with a hamstring issue. Buy John Brown. You sort of know what you're getting with John Brown at this point. He's a dynamic wide receiver who can stretch the field, but the high depth of his targets can lead to some inconsistency week to week. And that's what we saw in week 8. Joe Flacco didn't complete a single deep ball. He was 0-for-8. And that hurt John Brown tremendously. He only had 3 catches for 28 yards. Now, Brown is still second in the NFL in air yards, and his 17.3% target share is nice for a deep threat. But Brown's not a buy simply because he had a bad week, and he still has strong numbers from a season-long perspective. That's part of it, but a bigger piece is the Ravens' upcoming schedule. They'll face the Steelers at home on Sunday. And remember, John Brown did really well against the Steelers earlier this year. And then they're going to get Cincinnati, Oakland, Atlanta, Kansas City, and Tampa Bay. Not only could a lot of those games end up as high-scoring games, but the Bengals, Raiders, and Chiefs all rank in the top 7 in average depth of target allowed this year. So it's a great schedule for the Ravens' passing attack, and it's a great schedule specifically for John Brown. Add DJ Moore. The Panthers finally used DJ Moore like their number two receiver this week. Through week 7, Moore hadn't hit the 50% snap share mark in a single game this season, and he ranked 4th among Carolina wide receivers in routes run, according to Pro Football Focus. But in week 8, DJ Moore was on the field for about 71% of the Panthers' snaps, and he ran the second most routes at the position. So his 5-catch, 90-yard day was not a fluke. They were using him more. But part of the reason is that Torrey Smith didn't play. And up until Sunday, Torrey Smith was second on the team in snaps. But I do think that with DJ Moore's performance and his natural development as a rookie, and remember guys, he was my wide receiver one entering the year, I do think that we should expect him to steal more and more work as the season moves forward. Buy Corey Davis. You really shouldn't have to give up all that much to get Corey Davis right now. He's averaging just 10.8 PPR points per game, and he's finished higher than wide receiver 42 in weekly scoring just once. So why should you be targeting him given that production? Well, the Titans have faced a good number of defenses that can stop wideouts, and specifically top wideouts. The only matchup that they've had against a team that ranks in the top 15 in fantasy points allowed to wide receivers has been Philadelphia. And in that game, Davis caught 9 of his 15 targets for 161 yards and a touchdown. And all the while, the Titans have seen quarterbacks Xavien Howard, Jalen Ramsey, Jimmy Smith, Casey Hayward, and Tre'Davious White. I mean, that's not an easy group for Corey Davis. And his peripheral numbers are there. He has a 28.4% target share in the offense, and he ranks 10th at wide receiver in air yards market share. With a softer schedule upcoming, or at least a better schedule than what he's faced, and a bye week in the rear view, this is the time to buy Corey Davis. and you're buying him super low, so you shouldn't have to give up all that much. Add Devontae Parker. Kenny Stills was out, Albert Wilson was out, and Devontae Parker was finally in. And he delivered. He caught 6 of 9 targets for 134 yards. And he also played every single offensive snap for Miami on Thursday night. So you're adding Devontae Parker this week because he's got a shot to do that again in Week 9, given Stills' injury status is still up in the air. And the Dolphins are facing the Jets, who have allowed the 7th most points to wide receivers this year. Sell Eric Ebron. All Eric Ebron does is score touchdowns. He's got 7 of them in 8 games when he tallied 11 in 56 prior to this year. So yes, regression is coming. But that's not really the main reason that you're selling Eric Ebron this week. You're selling Eric Ebron because of Jack Doyle. With Jack Doyle back in action, Ebron saw his usage drop a lot in Week 8. He only played 21.8% of the team's snaps. There were actually 3 Colts tight ends, not just Jack Doyle, who played more snaps than Eric Ebron. And for reference, that 21.8% snap share that I just cited, without Doyle in the lineup this year, that number was 73%. And that lack of snap share just hurt Eric Ebron across the board. He only ran 10 routes when that number had never dipped below 20 without Jack Doyle, and then he saw just 3 targets, which was also a season low. So if you were relying on Eric Ebron up until this point, you're probably going to have to find another option. Add Jack Doyle. So naturally, if Ebron's a sell, then Doyle's an add. He's still out there on 75% of Yahoo waiver wires, making him easily the top target at the position this week. He played the most snaps, he ran the most routes among Colts tight ends in his first game back from injury on Sunday, and he tied Dontrell Inman with a team-high 7 targets. Keep in mind that Indianapolis is a bye this week, but that actually might help you get Jack Doyle a little bit more easily. Add Tre'Quan Smith. So Tre'Quan Smith only had 3 catches for 18 yards against the Vikings on Sunday night, but we got to give that some context. Drew Brees threw it 23 times and he only had 120 yards. The good news is that Tre'Quan Smith once again played as New Orleans' number 2 wide receiver. He had a 77.4% snap share, and he only ran 2 fewer routes than Michael Thomas. Now, the Saints haven't been as pass happy as they were to start the year thanks to an improving defense, but their upcoming schedule should help that out. They get the Rams this week, and then they'll face the Bengals, Eagles, Falcons, Cowboys, Bucks, Panthers, and Steelers to close out the fantasy season. That's a list of a lot of good opposing offenses to keep things close and to keep the Saints passing. Or at the very least, those are a lot of good matchups for the New Orleans passing attack. Sell Tyler Lockett. This is getting out of hand. Tyler Lockett has now found the end zone in all but one game this year, scoring a touchdown on every 5.7 targets and for every 65.7 receiving yards. The average wide receiver this year is scoring on about every 18 targets and 149 receiving yards. Now, if his targets were coming close to the end zone, it would be one thing. But Lockett has just 4 red zone targets this year. 83 players have more red zone targets. And his 18.6% target share is fine, but it's not fine in a lower volume offense. So to put it simply, Tyler Lockett is completely breaking math. He's an easy, easy sell candidate. Add Elijah McGuire. So without Bilal Powell in Week 8, Trenton Cannon played 53.7% of New York snaps, running the ball 6 times while seeing 4 targets through the air. Cannon actually outsnapped Isaiah Crowell. That was all thanks to a negative game script. But now, Elijah McGuire is set to return from injured reserve this week, completely muddying that backfield. But I do think there's a case to be made that McGuire is the guy that you want in that backfield, maybe aside from Crowell. At least more than Trenton Cannon. During McGuire's rookie year in 2017, he finished with a better success rate, or the percentage of positive expected points runs, than Bilal Powell did. And McGuire's 76.5% success rate as a receiver was best among all Jets running backs. And then there was also New York's running back coach, Stump Mitchell, comparing Elijah McGuire to LaDainian Tomlinson this offseason. But we can just ignore that coach speak. The bottom line here is, there's a shot that McGuire can carve out a role in that backfield. And that means that there's a chance for him to be viable in fantasy football as well. Buy Aaron Jones. Finally, it's finally happening. On Sunday, Aaron Jones ran the ball 12 times and saw 2 targets. He actually saw that type of usage earlier in the season. It was a game against the Bills where the Packers were blowing out the Bills and Aaron Jones had 11 rushes and 1 target. But the biggest difference between Week 8 and that Week 4 game is snap share. And that's what's really key. In Week 4, Aaron Jones played 38.2% of the Packers' snaps, which was a season high entering Sunday's game. On Sunday, though, that number jumped to 61.5%. You better believe, as an Aaron Jones truther, I am buying this performance. Jones has been arguably the most efficient runner in football since the beginning of last year. Among all 80-plus attempt backs in 2017, Jones tied Duke Johnson for the highest success rate, and he became just the 29th player since the turn of the century to finish a year with that type of volume, a 50% success rate, and a 0.15 rushing net expected points per rush rate. To put this another way, he was unbelievably efficient last year. And that's extended into 2018 as well. Aaron Jones has a better success rate in 2018 than he had in 2017. So if the Packers keep using him this way, and yes, that's a big if, but if the Packers keep using him this way, he should be able to do some work for your fantasy football team. Add Marquez Valdes-Scantling. So even with Randall Cobb back in action for the Packers on Sunday, MVS played the second most snaps at wideout for Green Bay. And the routes run breakdown paints a pretty optimistic picture for him. According to Pro Football Focus, Davante Adams ran 25 routes, Geronimo Allison was at 23, Valdes-Scantling was at 22, and Randall Cobb was at 17. So that's great news for Valdes-Scantling, and not so great if you're rostering Randall Cobb. But if this trend continues, MVS has potential in an Aaron Rodgers-led offense. Buy Alshon Jeffrey. Sometimes it's a good strategy to buy guys who are going into their bye. And that's even truer for teams who are looking towards the playoffs. Teams who might only have one or two losses right now. So if your squad is in good shape, target Alshon Jeffrey. He had a rough matchup in Week 8 against Jalen Ramsey and the Jags, but in his four games prior to Sunday's matchup, Jeffrey had seen 24.7 of Philadelphia's targets and 36% of the team's air yards. He had turned those market share rates into 6.3 receptions, 76.5 receiving yards, and one touchdown per game across those four contests. Those are great numbers. So with a down game and a bye upcoming, he's a definite buy low candidate. And after the bye, there's really not a difficult matchup on the Eagles' schedule. So if you're trying to add Jeffrey, this is the time to add him. Add Ryan Fitzpatrick. It's risky to play a Tampa Bay quarterback at this point because we have no idea if and when they'll be pulled in the middle of a game. But during a week where there aren't slam dunk streaming quarterback options, why not be a little bold? Ryan Fitzpatrick is once again the starting quarterback for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And we know that Tampa Bay quarterbacks have been very viable in fantasy football this year. With the help of the team's weapons and the lack of running game, Fitzpatrick and Jameis Winston have combined to score 26.6 fantasy points per game. If they were one quarterback, they'd be second to only Pat Mahomes in points scored per contest. So because of that, the matchup side of things matters a little bit less. Whoever's under center should score points for Tampa Bay. But it's not like the Panthers, who they're facing this week, have this ultra-tough secondary. They've actually allowed the 12th most fantasy points to the quarterback position this season. The game is in Carolina. I don't love that, but there's a high 54-point game total. There's the potential for a shootout. And that makes Ryan Fitzpatrick this week's top streaming option. Add the Miami Dolphins defense. So this week, the Dolphins will be at home as 3-point favorites against the Jets. New York has allowed at least one sack in each game, and Sam Darnold's been picked off in all but two contests this year. So the Dolphins are rostered in just 11% of Yahoo leagues, and I think they make for a decent streamer. As usual, I've got a 16th transaction on the podcast that you can't get in the weekly 15 transactions column over on numberfire.com, and this week's transaction is to add Josh Adams. You know, admittedly, I was weighing a couple of transactions here. I thought maybe buying T.Y. Hilton was a good call, but they also get a bye this week, and then they get Jacksonville when they return. And then I thought about selling Larry Fitzgerald, but I do think there's at least some reason to be hopeful with Byron Leftwich as offensive coordinator in Arizona, and they get Oakland this week. Fitz should actually be okay against Oakland. So I went with adding Josh Adams because Philadelphia is a place where running backs can thrive if they get work, and they have no real workhorse back. Adams ended Sunday's game in London with 9 carries for 61 yards, and he actually played 5 more snaps than Corey Clement. So why not take a chance? The Eagles have a bye this week, so not a lot of people in your league will be on Josh Adams, but it's not a bad idea to stash him away and see if he's a back who emerges. That's going to be it for today's show. Thanks to everyone for listening. If you've yet to subscribe to the Late Round Podcast, make sure you are by searching for it on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, TuneIn, and Stitcher. And make sure you're following me on Twitter, @LateRoundQB. Thanks, everyone. Talk to you later in the week.